Welcome to the Ralph Moore Podcast. Gain a leadership advantage as Ralph pulls wisdom from his bag of over 50 years' experience in planting and leading multiplying churches. Our goal is to help you live as a leader you'd want to follow. You'll learn about making disciples and planting churches, but beyond that, you'll gain practical wisdom about subjects like how to manage your team, handling difficult people, pulling a congregation off a growth plateau, and even money management.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. Today is a very different day, a very exciting day. I met this guy, David Cobia, and he is the lead pastor of something called Reimagine Church. And I mean, it's to me, he's not as old as me, but he's right up there in years. And yet, if we're talking to Gen Z people, or if you're discipling a bunch of people and you don't know how to aggregate them, the things that they're doing are amazing. So I met him. We talked for about 3.5 minutes. We got interrupted, and I asked him to come on this podcast. And so, David, welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad that you could be here. And I was wondering if you could maybe run the video thing that you have. I would like to see it. And the people who are going to watch this on YouTube, they're going to want to see it. So if you could flash that on the screen, we'll take a few minutes and look at that. And then we'll dig in. This is going to be a fun day.
Yeah, good. Yeah, this is a great introduction to kind of who we are. As a matter of fact, I point people to this more than I point them to a website or anything else that we do, because I think it does a better job of explaining kind of what we're about.
Hey everybody, David Cobia here with Reimagine Church. A few months ago, a new study from the Gallup organization hit the news feeds in a moment that was very important, but not surprising. The poll showed that for the first time since 1937, when Gallup started doing this annual poll, a majority of people in the U.S. are not a member of any faith community. The percentage has dropped from 70% in 1999 to 47% this year. In less than a generation, the framework through which we see life as a culture has drastically changed. Interestingly enough, recent surveys also clearly show that with regard to Christianity, people maintain a high level of respect for Jesus. It's just the church that seems to be causing the difficulty. And no wonder. With all of the stumbles that have happened, especially over the last few years, as the church has become more political and its individualistic, propositional take on faith has become prevalent. All of that and more is why we want to invite you to join us for an upcoming series at Reimagine Church. We're developing a genuinely new way of doing church that is positive, uplifting, that values diversity, and that is pioneering a new hybrid approach to community and technology. We're taking the best of what all of us have been learning as a culture during this past season and marrying it to the key values that have always been the foundation of the church. Let me explain. Imagine a three-legged stool. That's how we describe the approach we're taking at Reimagine. Leg one is digital content that drops every week. Essentially, these are short mini-movies that combine the creativity of video, multiple locations, music, editing, with the kinds of ideas that are typically communicated in sermons. These can be watched and also forwarded to friends who may be interested in the topics discussed. The content thus provides for outreach as well as spiritual formation, and perhaps most importantly, provides a connection for our Sunday brunch communities, which are the second leg of the stool. Sunday brunches, which happen both virtually and in person, are held at a local venue, a restaurant, gallery, small theater, a park, even a home, for somewhere between 10 and about 30 people or so. Participants eat together, experience a creative liturgy package, about 10 to 15 minutes of music, spoken word, prayer, and a message video like we just talked about, followed by a time of smaller group conversation. This gives everyone a chance, both in person and in the online groups, to ask questions and think through the personal applications of the scripture focus of the digital message. It's a table conversation designed to get participants engaged further with both the content and each other. The third leg of the stool is one-on-one coaching and eventually small group experiences that are a form of classic discipleship that is called spiritual direction. Essentially, this is an ongoing opportunity for personalized spiritual growth. Participants meet with a spiritual director who hears their story and helps them to identify key spiritual development goals. The sponsor and the participant then develop a plan, a rhythm of specific spiritual habits or practices to engage in, beginning with a 30-day experience, and then meet regularly together during that time to check in and provide specific encouragement and coaching. This has been one of the highlights of our church so far, with the people involved reporting very significant shifts in their spiritual life through these initial 30-day explorations. We're doing all of this because something new needs to happen. It's time to reimagine faith. If you've been struggling with the current models of church and faith you've been seeing around you, and that we're still holding on to, by the way, that were invented in a very different world back in the 1950s, this is for you. If you're hoping for a way to feel like you're not done with the church, this is for you. If you'd like to engage with a community where you can genuinely invite your friends, this is for you. If you're ready for a fresh look through some different lenses at historic Orthodox Christianity, this is for you. I've never been more convinced that we need a positive, fresh, inspiring new approach. We're certainly not perfect, but I can promise you that we're pursuing a genuinely new way of living out the time-tested story and practices of our faith. So, come test drive a new form with us. Join us for one of our upcoming preview series. It's an easy, primarily online shift to make for a few weeks for what may turn out to be one of the most helpful things you've experienced in quite a while. Blessings to you. There's more to see on the outside. We choose to be.
So there you go. That gives you a good kind of intro to this kind of new thing that we're trying to do.
So David, that is really, really exciting. And, we're going to for sure show this on the video part of it. I'm not sure if we're going to make it on the audio part of it. So I want you to unpack a little bit some things that you said that I was able to just to watch. And by the way, if you're listening to this and I haven't put it onto the audio portion, I think I'm going to. But if I haven't, then this is for you. So, David, you mentioned a couple of things. You mentioned that we need to change the way that we're doing church. And you're doing it so radically differently and very successfully. It's not huge, but it's successful. You talk at the very end. You said that we have a new form for doing church. And so I know that people are going to jump on form. People always do. It's like, oh, I'm going to try something new. But I want you to tell us a little bit about give us a scope, the overall numbers, because they're not huge, and how many people are in Los Angeles that get a chance to meet face-to-face, how many people are perhaps other places that are meeting face-to-face, and how many people are simply digital, and then talk about what you already did talk about it in the video, but talk to us about what you're accomplishing in the lives of people. Follows function, and you've discovered that the form that we've used is failing us. And so you've invented a new form that I'm screaming for. I think it's wonderful. I'm talking to old people who've given up on church. I'm talking to young people who are buying Bibles. Bible sales in between 2023 and 24 went up 22%, and it's mostly Gen Z buying the Bible, but they ain't coming to our churches. So just dive in and talk story for a while. What you got.
So we probably have right now, first of all, I love the fact that you said we're not huge, but we're successful. I mean, I don't know how to describe success in those terms, but I can say this. I've done 3 church plants, and I've been the pastor of very large churches and very small churches, right? I've never seen something that feels healthier than what's happening. And that's because people all along the spectrum are getting help, right? So we have about 70 households, I'd say, who are involved between two different locations in Southern California where we meet, one in Northern California, and then the online group that comes from all over. So about 70 households are involved. And so on any given Sunday, it's probably less than 100 people that are actually either in place with us at like 25, 30 folks, and then online another, 50 or 60. So the way they're getting help, though, is really interesting. People who are brand new, who have never shown up in a church before, have connected with us because we don't necessarily always meet in a home. We actually try to meet in more public venues because we feel like it's easier for somebody to invite somebody to brunch at a restaurant than it is to invite them to brunch at my house. You know what I mean? It feels a little less intimidating. So we try to keep it in public venues as much as we can, as much as we can afford to do that, because it costs money to do that, right? So, but folks will show up to that who would never show up in a church. And when they show up, what they experience is they'll get there. We actually have brunch. So there's a good spread laid out for folks. They sit at a table with somebody. They get some food. They have some kind of initial easy conversation. Then we do like a very short, it's maybe 10 minutes of contemplative worship experience where people, it's not intended to be high energy or high volume. It's more contemplative in nature. We do some centering prayer kind of stuff all of it's engaging for folks no matter where they are in the spiritual spectrum. So they come in, they get a little bit of easy conversation. They have a little bit of sort of on-ramping. We watched a message video together, which you saw a little bit of, and then afterwards we have table conversation. So if you come in, you get food, you get some relaxed atmosphere, you get a little content, and then after the content's there, maybe the walls have broken down enough for you to actually have a real conversation about things. So new people who have never been to church before or who would never show up at a church are gaining from that part of their perspective. They come in and they go, hey, this is not what I expected, and it works. We also are finding folks, like you said, who are done, who have shown up to this and said, oh my goodness, I thought I was done with church, but this actually works for me. And we can talk about the reasons. It's not just the form that's the reasons. It's what we're doing in the form that are the reasons it's working for those folks. Because we are, we're trying to use new vocabulary to describe spiritual growth. We're using the methods of spiritual direction, which are, ancient, and yet Protestantism is kind of just waking up to the idea of spiritual direction. And so the language and the forms of that feel different to people, but they're driving them in the same direction. They're helping them grow, but the language is different, and the way it's described and the invitational aspect of it feels different than sort of discipleship, which in our context, often as evangelicals, has tended to be a lot of information moving one way, rather than other stuff happening. So people are getting help. And then the spiritual direction thing is working in some just amazing ways. Like, I'll give you one example. There's a woman in our church who, when she first came, she's probably in her, early 60s. She came, she'd kind of been burned out on a lot of church stuff. She also was in a pretty difficult spot in her life. Her mom had died. She was single. There's all kinds of things going on. And she was basically kind of depressed. And she came to me for spiritual direction, and we started talking, and we came up with the idea for her of doing a spiritual direction month based on celebration. Because she said, well, I feel like judgment all around me all the time. And I said, well, maybe we need to go in an opposite direction from that. So we gave her, I created this little Bible study that's like, a weekly little thing. You look at it every day for 10 or 15 minutes. And then every week her assignment was she had to do a celebration of some kind, either a small thing, just, I went for a walk, or a big thing. I had a party at my house, whatever she wanted to do. She did that for a month. And by the time it was done, she literally told me, she said, wow, this has been more important than all the counseling I've done, all the stuff I've been doing over this past month. This thing has lifted me out of depression and into a wholly different state that I haven't been in several years. And then, long story short, she ended up writing a whole book about it. Wow. So she wrote an entire book. I may even have it. I do. Wait a minute. I'm going to grab it for you so you can see it. She wrote a whole book, or maybe I can't find it now. Oh, well, sorry. Anyway, I don't have it on it.
Well, tell us the name of the book, because people now are going to want to buy it.
Yeah, the book is called Celebrate from the Heart, and it's by a woman named Myrna Gutierrez. I'll find the book.
No, don't bother finding the book. Just tell us, and then tell us again so everybody can jump on Amazon and buy it.
Yeah, so it's called Habits. Let me actually, I'm going to look it up and make sure I get it right, because Let me look it up real quick on Amazon to make sure. But it was very interesting because she wrote it. She, I mean, and the book is really good. And she wrote this whole book coming out of this one spiritual direction experience that she had. Hang on. There it is. Yeah, it's called Reset Your Life, Celebrate from the Heart, a 30-day roadmap for sacred celebrations. Actually, I'll show it to you real quick. There you go. Can you see that?
No, it's not. Oh, there it shows up. All right.
Yeah. So celebrate from the heart. So just one example of the kinds of things that are happening. People are getting, and she's been a believer for a long time. So we have these people that are just on the beginning of the spectrum, and then folks who've been Christians for a long time, and all of them are genuinely getting help. And again, I've been a pastor for almost 40 years in all kinds of, you know, churches. I don't know that I've seen more high impact experience than we're having with what we're doing. And from a church planting perspective, it's also interesting because I've thought less about numbers in this case than I ever have, because it's been very organic. The growth that we've experienced has been people telling somebody else, telling somebody else, telling somebody else. We haven't done any marketing. We haven't actually, we have like, I don't know, 150 of these videos that we've made, message videos that are really good. We haven't put them on YouTube. We haven't done anything with them, which we probably should. But it's been an organic, genuine growth experience, and it feels very healthy, and it feels so good that I've been. I don't really care how many people we have at some level. I do care that more people are, you know, growing and getting to know Jesus. But it's not been that experience, and I think maybe that that lack of pragmatism that we've tended to circle around a lot in the evangelical church, that we gotta, you know, we do these things and we know it makes it grow. We haven't done any of that. And in some ways that's maybe not good. But in other ways it's been very healthy. So
I want to ask a question, because the money monster always raises its head.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so a couple things. One, you're in a position, so you're not caring too much about money. Two, you're doing these brunches, and I want to know, are people paying for the brunch, or
no?
Is the church covering? So I think the future, I mean, obviously there's going to continue to be mega churches, and people are going to go through that route. But we got a lot of burned out people, a lot of people who are tired of this, a lot of people who have been laymen all their lives, quote laymen, and you know, they don't need money. And so they could do something like this. They're making some disciples. They need to take a step forward. And I think, you know, not obviously nobody's going to clone you, but there's trailheads in everything that you're saying. I'm seeing opportunity right here and, you know,
right.
left. So how are you funded? I mean, you're so what, 60 years old?
Yeah, I'm 64 this year. The way we got funded was we started out with a grant from our conference. We're part of the Free Methodist in the United States, and we're part of a conference called the Pacific Coast Japanese Conference. Anyway, so there's a long story behind that, but basically they funded me personally. They basically paid my salary for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then we gathered people around the church who give, and then I actually, I set this in front of people as a mission as much as a church. And so I go to folks who are not a part of our church, who I've known for years or whatever, and I'll go to them and I'll go, hey man, $100 a month, support us in this mission. Because we're a mission. I say we're kind of like a crew is the college campus. We are to the creatives in Los Angeles. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so
we have this mission that's, it may not ever look like a normal church. It may not ever get funded like a normal church, look, you know, just by the people that are here. So that's kind of been the three sources of funding we've had. We had grants. Those are gone now. We have folks that are supporting us just as individuals because they love what we do. And then we have the people in the church who give generously because they believe in what we're doing. But I will say we're 3.5-4 years into this now. We're still not at 100% of sustainability. So we still have a hill to climb around that. We're about 75-80% of where we need to be. And we have a little bit of a ramp because we've saved some money, but it does cost money to do this. So if you're hosting brunches in a, like, yeah. We host the one that we host here near my house in Marina Del Rey, which is a very nice area in Los Angeles, right on the water, probably cost us $1,800 a month to do that. Once we do it, when we do it every week, we do it once a month there. So each venue is a little bit different in its cost. We meet at a movie theater. The movie theater charges in Northern California. The movie theater charges us about $800 every time we go in. So it does cost something. We're about typical in many ways of organizations. We're about 50% personnel, which is primarily me, and about 50% operational stuff, which is all the other stuff that we do. So I will say that the money thing has been the hardest thing for me personally. Because, you know, I wake up at night and I go, man, I hope this works. You know what I mean? And there have been times when I've woken up in the middle of the night going, God, man, I hope you help me to make this work, because I don't know what I'm going to do if it doesn't. But on the other hand, I will say this solves a lot of church planting issues, this model that we're using. So, for instance, instead of me having to worry about getting 100 people in the room to make it work every week, we actually only really genuinely need about 20 to 25 people in the room for it to feel like it should feel like, and for it to feel good for the people in the room. Because they also know that there's a whole bunch of other people, because they see the screen that we put everything on. So they're seeing other people there too. So they're seeing that we're, you know, this is not just the only thing that's happening in this room. But that makes a tremendous difference in gathering people to do something like this. Not having to go find 100 folks to get it started does a couple things. One, it keeps us from being too churchy at the beginning. So all those first 100 people you're gathering are all people from church. They're not going to be people who are, for the most part, when you normally start a church, right? What we're doing is genuinely starting it with folks who are not Jesus followers, I mean, most of them. And we don't need that many folks to be in the room. So it really solves that issue. And then you could do it a lot cheaper than we're doing it if you wanted to do it just in homes.
So let me speak into this for just a second. And I want you to go back to what you were going to say about just in homes. I'm kind of wear a couple of hats. I do these blogs and podcasts, and it costs some money. And then I travel still mostly to Japan. I used to go to third world countries, literally around the world. And I have a support base. It's a mission. And we just lost 2/3 of our funding this last year. And we're trying to claw that back. And what, you know, but we can cut budget. We can do whatever. But I'm really funded by the United States government, because I'm an old guy, and Social Security and my IRAs, you know, have paid off. So there's a lot of people listening who are like that. Yeah. There's also a lot of people that I talked to that I've actually had on this podcast that are, you know, you work in the building industry, or, you know, you work in the tech industry, you got a job, you're funded.
Right.
If you could take away the operational costs, and as I'm hearing you talk, I'm thinking, gosh, if you did church on Saturday morning, there's all these empty church buildings on Saturday mornings. So you could go, can we rent this little room, or will you donate this little room to us that will hold 25, 30 people? And we're going to have pastries and coffee. We're going to set up. And then we're going to ask everybody to chip in $5. So all the money issues go away at that point. Again, we're talking. I want people to get beyond the form, because what you're doing is well developed, and go back to where you are. What would be the next step? And then you could get to something much more sophisticated, like what David's doing down the road. But you could do this for almost nothing, and or even to the point, you know, because I'm funding ministry out of my tithe. I'm going to a great big church, and I seldom go there, and they don't need my tithe, and so I'm investing it in other ministries.
Yeah.
You could if you're trying to do a brunch for people, you could fund the brunch out of your own tithe. It's very, very simple what you're presenting. Doable. And I want people to hear that.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe and check his blog at ralphmoore.net.